America Weekend.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Our next guest is the only chef to have won the Outstanding Chef of the Year award two times. Now, this Sunday, he will, for the 22nd consecutive year, create the Governor's Ball, the official post-Oscar celebration. His name is synonymous with fine dining. It is always great to say hello to Wolfgang Puck. Wolfgang, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
It's always great to talk to you. Now, this is quite an endeavor, as always. 1,500 guests, all hungry after the Oscar telecast. Now, my wife and I freak out when we have three of our 12-year-old son's friends over at once. How do you do it?
Well, first of all, you know, we have a big ballroom where the people sit, and then I have two big kitchens, one on each side of the ballroom, and all together I have 300 chefs in the kitchen. So that's really an amazing part, from the youngest one, which is my son Oliver, to the oldest one, which is me. Mm-hmm. We have so many chefs cooking. So every, like, 10, 12 chefs, they do, let's say, appetizers, 10 or 12 or 15 do all the pre-cast hors d'oeuvres. Then I have maybe 15 people doing the fish, because we cook it at the last moment, fish and the crab, the lobster, and then I have a whole amount of chefs doing the tortellinis with truffles and risotto with lobster and risotto, a vegan risotto with vegetables. So we have it really well organized. It's all about organizing your dinner. And it's the same thing if you cook at home for 6 or 8 or 10 people. You know, if you're not organized, you're going to say, oh my God, now I don't have pepper.
Right.
I needed an egg, or I needed some butter or some olive oil, if you don't have it. So organize, write down everything, and then it's easy. But now it has come even easier, because I started an online cooking school last month. So you can go to wolfgangparkcookingschool.com, mm-hmm. and you can learn how to cook just the way I do it.
Wow.
Instead of reading through a cookbook, you see me on the internet.
That's terrific. I mean, that is a great way to learn now. Rather than, you know, going back and forth to a book, to actually see you do it as you are doing it, that is a great way to learn.
Yeah, you go online, mm-hmm. and it's so much simpler. And you can learn really how to do it for me personally. So every recipe is about from 5 to 15 minutes long, depends what it is. And then it's simple, so you can speed it up if you know it already by the second or third time. Then you just say, okay, I remember that, and then you do it. If it's a simple omelet, or if it's macaroni and cheese, mm-hmm. or if it's a chicken pot pie, or some slow-braised meat, so you learn it really easy that way. And I think it's really the new way of learning,
sure.
you know.
But it's got to be pretty cool. I imagine this is going to happen where there's going to be somebody, and a woman, she's going to be cooking for her husband that night, and she's going to have her tablet there, and she's going to be watching you, and her husband's going to come home, and she's going to forget to pause it, and he's going to hear a voice, and he's going to say, who's that? And she's going to say, that's Wolfgang Puck. He's in the kitchen helping me make dinner.
She says, Wolfgang Puck is with me in the kitchen. It's fine.
There you go. See that? There could be worse things going on. Now, in terms of getting back to Sunday night, now, when is it that you begin to kind of create the menu? How far out in advance do you start to decide what exactly will be served at the Governor's Ball?
Well, I think we started probably end of January, where we make up a list. What can we do? How are we going to do it? And everything, you know, mm-hmm. make up the menu, make out about 30, 40 dishes, which we can cook, you know, because there are so many people. And then after that, I think maybe like the week before, like last week, we started to make our chocolate Oscars, you know, which are covered in 24 karat gold. We started to make our smoked salmon. On Saturday, we did our chicken pot pie. The day before, we do the chicken pot pie, macaroni and cheese. So that way, we all bake that at the last moment. And on Sunday night, when they announce best director, which is about the end.
Right.
Then we say, okay, the people are going to come in 20 minutes, so we put the chicken pot pies in the oven. We started to really to cook. Then the whole kitchen gets into overdrive. I get really nervous just about the end of the show. I said, okay, in 20 minutes, we're going to have 1,500 people come into the room, and they're all hungry.
Right, because when the whole show itself is starting to wind down, that's when your night begins to wind up. I mean, that's when you're on, you know?
That's when we go in overdrive, and that's when we really work really hard. So everybody then is moving, it gets very frantic and very exciting, and it lasts about 2 hours, mm-hmm. and then most of the people eat, because since we have two kitchens and I have all these people working, like over 600 people in the dining room alone,
sure.
So it goes pretty fast.
What's the weirdest individual request you've ever received? If someone said, you know, like, I can't eat this or I want to eat this, have you been hit with like a really just out of the ballpark weird request that somebody needed to eat something particular or not eat something particular? What's the strangest thing you've been presented with all these years?
You know, I think most of the people are so hungry by then. You know, they went to the hairdresser, they went for makeup. Even people who are vegetarian, they forget about it. They eat fish and lobster afterwards because they're so hungry. And I think we never really are perplexed or anything about mm-hmm. a new dish and new things what people want, because I have 8 chefs and 1 whole cooking line just for special requests. So if somebody comes in and they want a pasta with tomato and basil and maybe some grilled shrimps, we make it for them right away. So in 5 minutes, yes, it is almost like running a restaurant, except we make all together 12,000 plates.
Wow.
So it's a lot of small dishes. But what is easy with that, because it's not formal, so you might start with a chicken pot pie, then have a salad, then have a baked potato, then maybe eat a little bit of Alaskan king mm-hmm. crab with some fried green rice and things like that. Obviously, lots of desserts.
Of course, everybody wants dessert, sure.
And everybody gets to take home a golden chocolate Oscar.
So really?
We make 5,000 Oscars altogether out of chocolate, bittersweet chocolate, and then we cover them in 24 karat gold.
Very nice. This is what I like having you on, because I get hungry just speaking with you. I mean, it's the way it is. Now, when you learned as a little boy how to cook, your mother helped teach you. Before you had formal training, you learned at your mother's side. When you learned some of those secrets and you started to prepare food on your own, what was your first favorite dish to prepare?
When I was a kid, I loved to make cakes because it was sweet. And, you know, when we were mixing butter and eggs and sugar and everything, I think my sister and me ate probably half of the butter because it was sweet, or maybe with some cocoa in it, some mm-hmm. chocolate in it. So we loved to taste the batter more than eating the cake. But that was our favorite Sunday morning, to make cakes. And the same thing happened, for example, with me, with my son Oliver. In the morning, we make omelets, we cook sausage, we also make sometimes sweets, like French toast and so on.
Isn't it amazing how cooking is something that you can pass on from generation to generation? As you mentioned, you're passing it along to Oliver. Your mother passed it along to you. Cooking is really, I mean, it's such a personal thing, and it's so neat that you can then pass it on to the next generation.
Exactly. You know what? For me, that's the most important thing, is to teach the children. And for everybody out there, you know what? If you cook, take the kids in the kitchen. Just be careful, you know, with the knives or with mm-hmm. the hot stove or anything. But it's great that they know it. Take them to the farmer's market. Take them to shop what they like. And then you cook it with them. And then kids like broccoli and green beans and asparagus. I know my two boys, Alexander and Oliver, they love vegetables. Why? Because since they're little kids, they always ate vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And they went with me to the farmer's market. Obviously, in California, it's easy because we have a farmer's market all year long.
One of the things I've always been so impressed with you is you've become a one-name brand. I mean, when you hear Wolfgang, you think food, you think Spago, you think Wolfgang Puck Bistro, you think Wolfgang Puck Express, the soups, the coffees, the cookware. You've taken your love of cooking and you've been able to expand it into an empire.
Yeah, well, I think I'm interested and curious. So I do so many different things. That's why my latest project is one of the ones I really think will last into the future, which is the Wolfgang Puck CookingSchool.com, mm-hmm. where you can learn online cooking for you and your family. And, you know, it's so great when you cook at home and you make a dish taste really good, and people come to you and say, how did you learn how to do it? How did you learn to present it so nice? Because we eat with our eyes first. And I think in my online cooking school, you really can learn how to do things the right way and make them taste good.
Say, that's a great idea. It really is, because everything is going online, everything is video, and it's just the next logical step. Well, all right, so here's a suggestion, folks. When you're out there, after you spend the day on Sunday before the Oscars start, and you're online learning how to cook from Wolfgang, and if you really want to feel like you're at the Oscars Sunday night, you can open up a can of Wolfgang soup, you can warm it up in some of Wolfgang's cookware, and voila, you are there. Wolfgang Puck, yeah, as always, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend, my friend.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Good luck on Sunday. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Well, there he goes, folks. He is quite the empire. I mean, he is cooking. I mean, you see him on QVC all the time. You see him. You go to the store, you get the Wolfgang Puck soup. You can go buy the cookware. The guy's a smart businessman, and he knows how to market himself. And notice how he was able to get the mention of the online cooking school. I didn't even know about that going into the interview. But he is a fascinating guy. And just think of the responsibility. You're cooking for 1,500 people on Oscars night. And you got a lot of people that, yes, are very hungry. And you know how the Hollywood elite can be sometimes. And if something isn't prepared just right, but he does prepare it just right. And he knows how to feed folks, and he knows how to feed them well. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalecki, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. 66-year-old Diane Steen was on duty as a volunteer neighborhood watch person when she saw a young man throwing trash into a creek. She yelled at him to stop, but he came at her with a gun. Amazingly, Diane pulled out her own gun, fired two shots, then forced the gun from his hands. But when the cops arrived, the man's weapon turned out to be a BB gun. So, what was the man charged with? And what was the gun-toting granny charged with? The final verdict after this.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
The man with the BB gun was charged with disorderly conduct, and the gun-toting granny wasn't charged with anything. And that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Would you like to know an easy way to spot a phony? Well, it's a fairly simple technique, easy to spot and foolproof. Here's the social science of it. If you want to spot a phony, all you got to do is look at their smile. You see, when people sincerely smile and make wrinkles around the eyes, when people are not sincere and you get a phony smile, there are no wrinkles around the eyes. This type of no wrinkle smile, it's called a Duchenne smile. And you'll see it anytime anyone is trying to manipulate you with false praise. What's the cheap psychological trick? Don't base any attraction on smile alone. I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Actions, words, and smiles must match. If they don't, congratulations, you found a phony. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.